This morning, I sometimes can try writing, but nobody can read it. At work, I always like to do stuff electronically because then when I go back later, I can read it. So I thought I would throw together a PowerPoint and we'll look at it together. I guess my question this morning, just from the audience here, why do we have Bible studies? Why do we read God's Word? What's the purpose for it? Why do you look at God's Word, maybe see a verse that speaks to you or means something to you? Why do you do that? What's the purpose for it? Become more like God? Get to know Him better? Get to know His ways? Just who is He? Like, how does He do things? Also to establish a way of living, right? Like, how does God want us to live? Capture vision for that. And then apply it to our lives. Try to take the Word of God and apply it. This morning I thought for a word picture, just so we think. I'm going to throw this out here. When you see something like that, we work, we go to school for a diploma, right? You know, there was a man in the Bible that we read of, his name was Job. And God said to Satan, He said, by the way, have you noticed this guy Job down there? What if God would say this of us? Not something we hang on our wall necessarily, but what if God would look at this and say, you know, I've found some truths in the Word of God, I've applied them, and I have no need to be offended ever again in life. Wouldn't that be something awesome? Like, I'd want that certificate, you know, with God just saying, you know what, that's been applied. Guys, have you seen it? Have you seen my servant Job down there? I'd want that. So is it attainable? It's a journey. I guess in my own journey in life, I've found some truths that have helped me a lot with this, and I want to share them with you over the next several weeks and just look at them. And hopefully you can learn, you can latch on to some truths that I do share and that we look at together. But the reason I'm throwing this up is so that we have an end goal in mind of this Bible study, or I don't know, might not necessarily be a Bible study, maybe it's a teaching. I'm not somebody that can just open the Bible and go through chapter and just, I'm more of a topic person. So that's probably what I'll be doing more than just scripture, a chapter. But when we're done, the purpose of looking at some of the scriptures we're going to look at is God wants to look down and tell the world, you know what, that guy's mastered that. So let's just remember that as we go through that. And the thing we want to talk about is our identity. And I didn't know how long this is going to take. I thought for a while there that maybe we could just jam it all into one Sunday. And I wasn't sure, so Jonathan, if you get a long time to preach today, that's okay. I decided to split it up in three different topics or three different sections just so that we can look at it, we can go home, we can think about it, we can let God do a process in our own hearts and lives. The first today I thought we would look at is identity. What is it and where does it come from? Then next Sunday, how does identity shape my life and the lives of those that live with me? Then last one, I want to establish a clear identity and walk in the freedom of it. And I guess in my own journey, just realizing my identity in Christ and just identity as a whole, having Christ meet that last one, walking in the freedom of it, that's powerful. That's powerful. So, I guess week one would be awareness of identity. Week two, it was awareness of the effects that one's identity has on society. Week three, having embraced our identity, we now walk in a clear, plain path. So, let's hear some definitions of identity. What's your definition? What are your thoughts when you look at that word? Identity, definition for it. There's a lot. Let's just hear some. Brock is just waiting to bring you the mic. Brock, what's your definition?
I guess who people see you as, or who you really are.
What
people think of you as, I guess.
Who people see you to be. Mm-hmm. Someone else. Edward, up here.
Also, who God sees you to be?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good one. Who does God see you to be? You just made me think of what is that saying? There's who you see yourself to be, who others see you to be, and who you really are. I forget the exact wording of it, but that's what that made me think of. Who you see yourself to be. But that affects us. It affects us. Who we belong to. Who's our master, right? Whoever we yield ourselves obedient to be is we are. Definition for identity. Anybody else? Dwight has one here.
Who we are a part of.
Who we are a part of. Yep. Well, there's a lot of different ways to look and a lot of different ways. It's not a one blanket, like a one statement answer, and that's what it is. It's a lot of different things. Anybody else? I put three together here. Thanks, everybody, for what you have put together, and they'll probably overlap. But the condition of being oneself or itself and not another, these are dictionary terms. So, in other words, original. You know, we're happiest when we are ourselves, right? Like, we're happy to be ourselves. Like, example, I'm happiest in my own skin, if you may say it that way. Look, I've got a big scar here from 15 years ago from putting my thumb on the table saw. Here I'm who I am. It's okay. That's what I see in that. The condition of being oneself or itself and not another. Our identity. Condition or character as who a person or what a thing is. Like, that's a pulpit there, right? It's its identity. The state or fact of being the same as one as described. Yesterday, we were trying to do an install, and they needed some more parts. They needed some finishing out of the finish booth. And the installer called me and said, certain corner, certain pail, this is what it says on. I was able to find it because the state of the fact of being the same one as described. Identity. Our belief about our identity, what do we allow to define us? Or, just to make it safer, what have we allowed in life already to define us? What defines our identity? What do we let define our identity? Just like to have some feedback from the group. There's a lot of different things. I've jotted some down, but and, you know, as life goes on, we change that sometimes. Here, Jonathan, I think, has one here.
The circumstances into which we were born. The circumstances into which we were born.
The circumstances into which we were born. Anybody else? George.
Our peers.
Our peers. Friends. Yep. Ray up here.
I'm just thinking, what do we allow to define us? I'm not sure. Like, there's such a thing as things that simply define us. It's inevitable. Like, 100% of the time, it is going to shape us. Or there's things we can receive. I'm not sure what you're asking.
Either
is fine.
I just simply put words on there that happen to come to my mind. I'm just trying to get people to think about it and discuss it. So if you have one or the other, that's perfectly okay.
Both ones. Like our things as simple as the country we're born in is going to define us. Mm-hmm. Our culture is going to define us, which is circumstances we're born in as well. Our parents are going to define our identity. Even being identified as a father of, like, my identity is wrapped up in being a father to my children. Mm-hmm. It's wrapped up in being a husband to my wife. It's wrapped up in milking 50 cows a day, you know?
It is. It is.
that is all a part of who I am. And yet, it is not really who I am, especially the 50 cow part. But the those are things that I do. Allowing to define us, like, I've allowed failures to define me lots of times. I've also allowed vain glory to define me lots of times.
Thank you. That's really what I wanted to do, is just get our minds thinking, because if we're going to find some answers, we're going to have to know what we're looking at. Anybody else? I've jotted a couple down here, and obviously the different ones I've jotted down, they're going to take us in a very different place. Like, very different place. Example, God can define us. Oh, sorry, George has one here.
When you were starting with this, I was just thinking of a lot of phone calls you make and phone calls you get, and people say their name. Maybe they say their company name. And sometimes with all the telemarketing and all that nonsense, it's like you have to sort through that identity to make sure that it's the real stuff and not a fake call, because there's a lot of fake callers identifying themselves to be somebody that they're not. So your name also is means a lot to who you really are. You know, there's names that you think that of you have a bad taste about that name. Well, what was it? It was only the person that was called by that name years ago, maybe. Not that the name itself maybe is bad, but it's what the person was or who he was.
We connect it with that individual. As on that topic, what's so exciting and so good is, you know what, we're an individual all by ourselves, and God wants us to rewrite that identity for that name in our own lives. We are not bound by, I'm not bound by Ivan the Terrible. Right? It's just, and nobody else is bound when they grow up. If a little child would be here called Ivan, they don't have to be like me. They are themselves. So thank you. Anybody else? Jonathan here.
So in the process of raising our family, we've had some interesting discussions on names. And often when we say a name, it naturally means, you know, our thoughts go to something that we connect with that name, and it could be good or bad. So we've talked about that, how, you know, we have the opportunity, and maybe it's because I've come up with some, you know, unusual names that I've had to justify. But my argument has always been that, you know, we have the opportunity to define what that name, you know, to bring a new meaning to that name, or to, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but I think you get the idea.
Thank you. That's the grace of God, right? Anybody else? Like I had mentioned, I had put a couple together, and they will take us in a very different place on if we allow them. Obviously, if we let God define us, we will have to take the word. We will have to look at our lives and what's not compatible. We'll have to say this is right. Satan can define us. We want to. We can allow him to do that. That will be destruction. You know, our past can define us. Our failures, that will also take us to destruction. Our culture, that can be good or bad, right? It's not necessarily good or bad. But that can. We can find our identity in our culture, in our family. Or the world or the media can define who we are. I just had to think of this last one. Right now, we could let the media define define our lives if gay marriage is wrong or right, or if Planned Parenthood is a good thing or a bad thing, or if shooting lions is a good thing or a bad thing, right? What are we going to do with that? When the world calls right wrong and wrong right, Are we going to be shaped by that? Romans 6:16 says, "Do you know that if you present yourselves to anybody as obedient slaves, you're slaves of the one who you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to the righteousness?" Isn't it wonderful that we have the power of choice? And maybe as we look at that, we're not quite sure what influence they have on our lives. Just something to think about. You know, sometimes in our lives we hear a statement and we go, "That's true." You know what that feeling is like when you hear something, you go, "That's true." Where did the last thought come from that you agreed with and accepted as truth about yourself? Just think about that. And where is that thought going to take you? Because we agree with comments or with thoughts that come our way. We either agree it's true or we agree, you know what, that's false. So, those are things that we just want to be. Today I just want to look at some of this stuff and get our minds thinking. It's a big subject. It really, really has a big influence on what we do and how we live. We want to now look at establishing our identity in God's Word. What does it have to say? And I think we all know that if we're going to have an identity that's true, that God wants us to have, we're going to have to go into His Word. We're going to have to find scriptures that say who we are, and we're going to have to apply them. With that, I thought we would break it down two different sections. Persons in general, good or evil. There's some statements that are made in the Bible that applies to everyone across the board, every person. Then there's statements that apply to Christians, to believers, persons that live by faith in the Son of God. So I want to hear verses, scriptures from you. In your own quest of finding your own identity, what verses have spoken to you? I'd like to hear some verses that you have read and in your heart said, "That's true." And you know, we're going to all have different verses, right? Because the Spirit speaks in different ways to different people. Any verses that come to your mind for that? What we're looking at right now is not necessarily a Christian, just people. Yep, Ray here. Oh, sorry, Tim has his hand up, then we'll get Ray later.
I'm not exactly sure of the reference, but there's one verse in the Bible that says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he."
Yes. I don't know that reference either, but that's a verse that really takes this thought. Ray had his hand up.
Again, I don't know the reference either, but person in general, good or evil, there's a, I think it's in Isaiah, but I'm not sure where it says that a man's heart is desperately wicked.
Deceitful and desperately wicked.
Deceitful and desperately wicked, that's right.
And that would apply to right across the board, every individual that ever has breathed life. George there.
There is none righteous, no, not one.
None righteous, no, not one. Derek, was that your hand going up? Okay. Yeah. He's saying all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anybody else? Alvin?
From the days of Noah, it was said that the heart of man is, the imaginations of man's heart is evil continually. And the book of Jeremiah is just filled with God speaking to his deceitful people and to the people who needed a new heart. And it's just filled over and over again. Just, I think every chapter has a couple thoughts where God is speaking to the heart of man. It's Jeremiah 17, Ray's comment there. But over and over and over, you know, the way we think is just so important. Do we understand? A.W. Tozer makes some strong statements about our thoughts about God. And I think the way we think about God, the way we accept what God thinks about us. And in the Bible, it talks about how he thinks about us. And I think that's so important to understand. It starts where you can't see. Where you can't see in my life, right? You look at the fruit in my life and you say, man, what's Alvin thinking? What's going on in his head? Like, he's not sure about what he's doing, but something is going on inside there.
Thank you. Alvin touched on something very powerful. You know, God has an identity too. God has an identity too. Like, that's powerful. And then, you know, identity is really a gift from God. Any other verses? Jonathan here.
Just thinking over my own life, and I think the first place in establishing my identity had to be that I was dead in trespasses and sins. And that was something that, you know, probably over a period of time I tried to avoid, get around, but just coming to face with that reality that, you know, I'm dead. I'm separated from God, and I'm dead in my sins. And thankfully, I didn't stay there. But something that not real long after I was a Christian that really meant something to me was Isaiah 61. And I know this is maybe speaking of Israel here, but I've taken it and received it for myself because I'm of the same faith as Abraham. And so I believe that the blessings to Israel also are for the church and for the believer. But he talks in Isaiah 61, and this is just one particular verse that over a period of time in my life, you know, really meant, was precious to me and still is, you know, when I think about it. But Isaiah 61, they shall rebuild the old ruins, in verse 4. Actually, I'll start reading verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called. And so he gives, you know, in the context of the discussion this morning, he identifies who we are. But he says, they shall be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then he goes on to say, they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the ruined cities, The desolations of many generations, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of strangers shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call the servants, they shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and for burnt offerings. I will direct their work in truth. I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. There may be a few others there. As the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as the bride adorns herself for her jewels. I think that pretty much sums it up there.
Thank you. That's just a lot there to think about. Ray up here.
Just mulling on that comment you made, that God has an identity, that if we ever thought about that God has an identity, and he does, and I always think of Exodus 34 when I think of God's identity, and I read that. It's when he's speaking to Moses, and Moses is up on the Mount of Sinai. Exodus 34, beginning at verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And there he proclaimed the name of the Lord, which is, I would see that as being aggregate to clearly communicating his identity. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, and slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers to the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Just proclaimed the name of the Lord. I see God as simply, this is who I am.
But isn't it just so good to find scriptures like that? Because that clears up our questions of who God is, right? That's just...
There's a few more. Go down in Isaiah 62. He says, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, whom the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall be also a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Those are actually the verses I was looking for.
Thank you. Anybody else? Just hearing from you, your verses, I was thinking it's such a good thing that we're not alone in life, right? Because the verses I put down, there's so many thoughts that came out that I didn't think about it. So I jotted a couple down here that we'll maybe look at. So God created, Genesis 1, 27 and verse 31. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Genesis 2, 7. the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We're alive, and we're never going to go to sleep in our spirits. We are a living being. Psalms 139:14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. What I liked about that verse is the psalmist said, you know what? I know that's true. My soul knows that very well. And these apply to a believer or to a non-believer. Isaiah 64:8. But now, Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are our potter, and we all are a work of your hand. Think of Pharaoh, when he hardened his heart. God still used him. He was still a work of God's hand, right? He talks about vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. I like this one. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you know, that's for everyone. Doesn't say we're going to attain it if we don't yield, become obedient to it, but that is for everyone. You know what? I definitely see I wouldn't have gotten all three into one Sunday. any scripture verses for, you know what, there's one thing else I wanted to look at back here is, as we look at those scriptures, are we comfortable with them? Are you comfortable with saying the third one there? I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. You know, I know, like, I know within my heart, you know, that's true. Like, is that, does that feel natural? Does it feel natural for you to agree with the Word of God in the above verses? It's just something to think about. So, in our Christian experience, in our finding our security in Christ, what are some verses that come to your mind for that? You know, as a new believer, and even as a believer that's been traveling the road for a while, sometimes we grope with some of these things, and then we find answers in the Word of God that that's true. What were some answers you found in life from the Word of God? Any verses come to your mind?
There's different ones in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of his glory.
Guaranteed possession. Anybody else?
I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but it says something that Christ liveth in me.
Lives in me.
Yeah, that's the identity there, I believe.
Thank you. George?
I was thinking of most of Romans chapter 6 has been an encouragement to me. And just while you were discussing all this, I was just reminded that we have to go by God's definition right from Genesis to the end. We live in a day. You read a very simple statement there in Genesis. God created them male and female, and now the world is trying to figure out which they are, and they're trying to teach the children to figure out which they are, if they are male or female. This is how far humanity goes in trying to figure it all out themselves. We have to go by God's word.
That's so true. It's we got to go to the word of God, and that's the only thing that can define us. If we go by anything else, we're going to go wrong. We're going to go wrong. I have put a couple verses together here. I'm just going to read them off here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's an identity worth embracing. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, which is similar to the same meaning as what Ray had given. You know what? We're not a citizen of this world, but our citizenship is of heaven. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I see we're going to run out of time, but just let's think back now. Identity, there's also something about respect in identity. I'm just going to flip back here. Can we look at these scripture verses? We've looked at them and applied them to our own lives. Can we look at them and apply them to somebody else's life in this group? We need to be able to. And if we don't have, if we're not comfortable with that, you know what, that's maybe okay for right now, but God wants to do a deep work in our heart and lives. It's just, let's take it beyond ourselves. Verse 3, I praise you, for he is fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works in creating that soul. My heart knows it well. Do we really believe that? If we get some of this stuff, we're never going to be offended, and God's going to say, he's got the certificate, nothing can offend him. Other believers, and he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. He is, a new has come. He's right. He has a right to be called a son of God, or a child of God. He's a seal on his heart. Guarantee. And he's waiting for another kingdom. Just, you know, as I'd really invite you to, in the coming week, just ponder over some of the stuff we've looked at and let it do its work in our own lives. George had very briefly mentioned about phone calls. You know, your voice even identifies that. Yeah, I'm the original. But he mentioned fake identity. I thought we'd just very briefly look at that this morning. What is fake identity? Can somebody give me a definition of fake identity? Tim? Hypocrisy? Yep.
And trying to give people a different view of who you are that you're not.
Trying to convince people of who you are that you aren't really that individual. That's what, and hypocrisy and all that, it's just, that's all the same, just different terms. Which I guess the next question, what is a fake ID, is really, in our civilized world, we have a huge problem with fake identity, right? I thought when I was looking at this that I would see what are the stats in Canada for fake identity, and I was surprised. But let's look at why would a person or an individual choose fake identity? Like, why would I go make a... Let's come back to that. I'll just throw this out, that identity theft, social synthetic identity fraud, which what that is, I go make a name. When I did a little research, they found a name in the system that said server error. And he had established his identity. And as soon as you have an identity, you can get a driver's license. You have a driver's license, you can get a credit card. You can run it up to, and if you pay the credit card off, you can get more credit, then you can walk away. And there's nobody to go after because it's fake identity, right? And it has cost Canada, in 2014, it cost them $1 billion for that kind of theft. That's a huge loss, right? But what causes people to do that? Why do we want a fake identity? Why would somebody want to do that, Wayne?
To benefit ourselves in some way or another.
To benefit ourselves in some way or another. Very good. Tim?
Oftentimes we look at ourselves, we don't like what we see, so we put on a false identity because of the fear of rejection by others.
Very real. We put on something. So now if we think of more just in the social aspect of fake identity, identity theft, just of that, it's very selfish, right? It's to get something that isn't ours, to get something without any effort. It's all about me, all about the individual doing it. The next one, I just want your minds to spin for the coming week on this one, and that is something to consider. What fruit would fake identity produce in the Christian community? And let's. If it gets painful, that's okay. Let's just think about it in the next week. Our time's kind of running out here. I want your minds to think about in the next week if you do remember any of this. Couple things for next week here that I want you to look at is, how does identity shape my life and the lives of those that live with me? Like who I see myself to be, how does that affect me, and how does that affect my family, just life? Older you get, I've heard some comments from our house. I was just like, I can't believe it. That's just Ivan saying it from a different mouth, and that just doesn't sound right. Right, you sometimes hear yourself, but it's from somebody else, maybe from the next generation, and they just see the foolishness of believing that. Think about it. Come prepared with examples from the scripture of somebody that believed they were something and how it affected the community, how it affected their civilization or history. Or, if you want to be brave, personal testimony. That's what we want to look at next week, is how does it affect us? And let's not be scared. Let's not be fearful. That's our natural tendency, because if we really see who we are, it's not necessarily the prettiest thing. But that's okay. We have to be all right with that. God wants to do a deep work, and we need to allow him, but for ourselves... So with that, I want to thank everybody again for your participation. Definitely because you had participation, it went in places that I haven't thought about. So thank you. Anybody have anything they want to add or share to this yet? Yeah, you know what? Should I just text it to you, and you can pass it out? Maybe mid. Yeah, I'll text that to you. Then you can. So again, the reason we want to do this is because we want God to be able to look down upon our lives and say, you know, see, Job, he couldn't be offended if you tried. Thank you.